Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. I'm Phil Carroll, and today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources. Welcome back, Colin. How's things?
I'm great, thank you. And how are you?
Yeah, all good. Just had a bit of a break away from it all in freezing Iceland. It was really nice. Saw the Golden Circle, which is the modern wonder of the world. Gullfoss waterfalls, which were literally frozen solid, were running torrents. But yeah, I don't know if you've ever been out there and seen the Aurora Borealis at this time of year, but it's pretty magical.
Yeah, I've seen the Northern Lights. I saw them from a different perspective on my way to Alaska once. But yeah, as you say, I saw them out of an aeroplane, actually. I'm frightened of living daylights out of me. I was on my way to Fairbanks in Alaska. But gee whiz, I've never seen anything quite like it.
Just today, we saw the news of the Ascot prospect maiden mineral resource estimate. Do you want to give us your thoughts on the numbers and grades? What with the addition of a further approximately 190,000 tonnes of copper equivalent metal?
Yeah, good one, isn't it? I'd like to stress from the word go that this is an independent report. It was the same firm that did Racecourse. And the Measured Group, of course, you know, they're an international group and operating, work for governments, work for mining companies, work for banks, etc., accounting firms. So this is truly independent. I think we should get any sort of impression that this is a company thing. Let's get rid of that day one, because at Racecourse there was a massive debate on whether we conjured it up, and of course we hadn't. You know, we were a regulated company on the market. But let's get back to the basics, and let's stick to numbers, let's stick to words, and let's stick to facts, Phil, Kevin. Let's just stick to that, because the conjecture now, you know, is conjecture's fine, but it's inferred. It's of an inferred status. In total, let's just get it all in perspective if we possibly can. I used to go on about, I reckon we're going to get more than 500 million. I don't know if you can remember me in these podcasts talking about 500 million. We've now got 730 million tonnes inferred under our belt. And if you remember for the race course, some of that is indicated, not all inferred. Some have gone into the indicated category. This time round, we've got 87 million tonnes at Ascot. Now, 87 million tonnes, if you remembered when we started this off a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago, whenever it was, we've got 71 million tonnes at Racecourse. Ascot alone is good for 87 million tonnes, 0.22 copper equivalent. But look at that again, you see, 34 million tonnes, nearly half, 40%, is at 0.33. And that's what these porphyries are generally working at. 0.33 is what you want. But again, simple math, simple sums. We were pretty happy with ourselves that we got about 191 million tonnes, wasn't it, for Racecourse at an higher grade. And now we're adding 34 to that. So we've got about 225 million tonnes. So let's put that into perspective, gents. 225 million tonnes at 0.33. Now, that's near surface material. Again, we should be able to get more of it at Ascot, because it's open-ended, is Ascot, in whichever direction you look. And quite frankly, you know, one had to wait for the modellers. I'm quite pleasantly surprised by this early result, you know, because it was very much test work, very much speculative, trying to get a feel of plunge, trying to get a feel of mass, trying to get a feel of the chemistry, gold, moly, silver, copper, and all of those good things. So to wind up with 34 million tonnes at 0.33, which we can add to the 191, that was pleasing. And to end up with 87 million tonnes was quite nice too. And as I say, the old project is 730 million tonnes. But step right back, 730 million tonnes. Racecourse ain't done. And again, you know, looking at the bullet board from a few weeks ago, what the company said is that they can put a circle around around Racecourse, what works. Nobody implied that Racecourse was finished. What they said, we can put a circle around it, what works. We can add to Racecourse to the west, and we can certainly add to Racecourse to the north, east, and to the northwest. Now, to the northeast, we're very, very bullish on Racecourse. So can we grow this thing? Yes, of course we can, because Ascot is completely open-ended. Yeah. Can we grow Racecourse? Yes, we can. We've still got more opportunity. So I'm not going to hang on the 2 million tonnes, because viability is more important than quantum. Can you make a mine of it? So we're looking now at 11 years, at 20 million tonne a year. of typical mining rate for porphyries. We're looking at it to be completely open-ended. We're already at 1.3 million tonnes. Does it join up, Phil? I wish I could answer that question. Will Ascot and Racecourse be one mine? I think the answer is in entirety no. Will they partially be one mine? Will we be able to take the benefit of the higher grade material near surface and join it up to Racecourse? I think more than a fair chance, quite a good chance. But the modellers, and you know that's optimal mining, the modellers, that's where all of this information is with them now. And they will tell us. This is no mean subject, is it? I mean, we're 1.3 million tonnes copper equivalent. I think at 10,000, that's the best part of $30 billion worth of rock. That's not to be scoffed at. It's moving up the ranks of the world-class projects, which are not being developed. It's open-ended with geophysics all round. Independent, I want to keep stressing that word, independent. Yeah. Independently generated geophysics, which gives us something to go at to make this whole thing bigger. And then, of course, the optimal mining consultants, they will tell us what we've got. Remember, when we first put the optimal mining out, they said what we'd got to get. Mm. Well, we've got a lot more than that, what they said we'd got to get. A hell of a lot more, because, you know, the Racecourse ore body went further south than anyone would have thought. So they are now modelling facts as opposed to what they'd like us to get. So what they liked us to get, would have liked us to have got, we got, and a lot more besides, that will be modelled. And then, of course, from that model will be direction. Yeah. You know, it's not about saying, you know, this is a mine, you pay for your interest. It's direction. Here's your opportunities. You really should be chasing that high-grade material now at Ascot. It looks as though there's a corridor maybe between Ascot and Racecourse, which is of acceptable grade. You might be chasing that corridor. So this study is not just to put a circle, hopefully, around the two and join them together, see where you can join them together using certain parameters, like 600 meter pit depth as a parameter. It's really to look at this whole data bundle and say, how does it interconnect? Does it interconnect? What next? And how can we make a world-class mine? And it's looking very, 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 very promising.
Yeah, so I mean, so here we are in the end of 2022, nearing 2023. On the Bush Ranger project alone, there's been a massive amount of drilling and assays and results. I mean, what is the plan going into 2023? Do you think the company's now at a stage where 1.3 million tonnes at this grade is enough to attract interest from potential buyers?
Well, I think I said at the last podcast when we looked at the Racecourse, you know, you can drill, drill, drill. And if I was basically an investor without any inside knowledge and the CEO and the team in Australia got up and said, we're going to do another program, guys, of 20,000 metres. I think, what am I invested in here? Am I invested in a scientific mission, which isn't going nowhere? Everybody's talking about a thirst for copper in 2025. Everybody's talking about a shortage of copper. And all these guys want to do is drill, 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 drill. And the reason the company took the decision to put that circle around Racecourse, it was almost like saying, and I hope everyone's not going to hang on to this negatively. It's almost like saying, where are we? Have we got anything what works? And so to draw a circle around Racecourse, come up with 1.1 million tonnes of a pit what went down to 600 metres with an high-grade section which could last for 10 years and pay off the infrastructure, that's basically said, yes, this has all been worthwhile. But now, when we model this, as I've said earlier in this podcast, it will tell us where we need to go. It may be that all of that 1.3 million goes into the pit and Racecourse extends to Ascot. It may be that the guys say to us, look, you know, as I say, there's a corridor between Ascot and Racecourse, or alternatively, we think you can pick up another couple hundred thousand tons or more. I don't know. I shouldn't be shooting figures out. You can pick up more high grade near surface if you go west at Ascot, which will join up to the entire model. Shall we say we've left the arm waving? We've drilled 32,000 meters. We know we've got a significant ore body, which a lot of people would die for. Now, how do we join it up? How do we get the best out of it? How do we position plants, tailings, dams? And how do we actually join it up for net present value benefit? So if you like, Phil, we've come to the stage where it's better to define what we've got make the circle bigger, make the MPV the best we possibly can. And yes, there's geophysics all over the place. There's geophysics for Australia. You know, we've got a lot of targets. But I think we would not be doing our shareholders any justice by just go chasing new targets, which might not join up, which might be very low grade, which might be very high grade as well. Who knows? I don't know. Shareholders, I think, need to know when they're handling these big porphyries, where does our porphyry sit? Does it big enough to justify the numbers? Does 25 million ton a year of work? Sounds a lot of rock to me. Sounds like it will work. But, you know, it doesn't matter whether they think it will work, whether I think it will work. Optimal mining consultants will tell us whether it works. So, Phil, obviously there's more drilling to be done, but that drilling will be very much targeted to add it to the resource, targeted to add into value, not just wild drilling, trying to find out if you can find yet another racecourse, if you can find yet another Ascot. So the next drilling program will be targeted and will be project directed towards making the project bigger and more valuable. Or if not bigger, defining some of the unknowns in areas where you probably attach too much tonnage, too much grade, without enough drill hole information.
So Colin, just for my simple mind in terms of we're looking at this project. I'm looking at the 225 million tons that we've got at 0.33 copper equivalent. And most of that, or all of that, I think is a shallow mine. In other words, it's an open pit. So is it likely, obviously you can't give us a definitive because that's what the mining experts are going to be doing. Is it likely that 225 million tons and probably slightly more over a 9-10 year period of 25 million tons a year, producing, I think it's 60,000-70,000 tons of copper a year. Is this likely to be financially applicable in the current copper market with sort of 8,000 to 9,000 copper prices?
Yes, indeed. I mean, they look, if you know that 0.22, I think if you've probably got 730 million tons at 0.22, you'd say, you know, this is not a dripping roast. And the economics and the study will be improved, enhanced. The final results will benefit greatly by 10 years. 10 years to be mining at what is now world common porphyry type grades. If it builds up more, you've almost got a mine where you forget what's deeper. And, you know, Kevin, you might not decide that 600 is pit bottom. You might decide that 300 meters is pit bottom. You might decide that 450 meters is pit bottom. You might decide that, look, when we've worked this pit for 10 years at 0.33, it's amazing just how consistent the grade is around about, you know, 0.25 copper. Why don't we take the average grade thereafter down to 700 meters. Because one thing you've got to remember, that 10 years of higher grade stuff will pay off the plant, will pay off the tailings dam, will pay off the infrastructure. Any rock beyond 4 or 5 years capital recovery isn't attracting the capital, and you can actually do the calculations on a marginal basis. And the marginal basis is that each ton of rock attracts its own variable cost, but not the original capital cost. So, you know, these modelers have got a big opportunity now. But just to condense your question, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever, without the high grade contribution of some 10, 11 years, it wouldn't look anywhere near as good as I think it's going to look. So I, for one, am very glad we've got those 11 years. I, for one, will be sitting down with the planners next year and the team, the Australian team plus our guys. And we'll be really looking at what our potential is to add to the 38 million tons at Ascot near surface. And just what about the corridor between the two? Because, boy, if you can join up Ascot and a racecourse, you know, it's beginning to look about a 600 million ton proposition.
Yeah, and I suppose the next question, because you've obviously, the share price has been pretty drastically hit over the last six months or so, is that, you know, this type of project, never mind the fact that you Extract has got other projects, we're basically now valuing this project to fail, really, because, you know, Extract is valued at 17 or 18 million pounds. So I find this quite remarkable, really, in terms of the current situation, because nothing really has been decided whether this mine can go ahead. But in all likelihood, with the story of what's happening with copper going forward and the sheer volume of copper involved here, that any sort of mine is going to mean the Extract share price is ridiculous.
Kevin, don't listen to Colin Bird, you know, because he's been yapping on about this since 2017, the copper price. But, you know, the Glencore chief executive was on the media, I think 2 weeks ago. The new chief executive of Anglo was on the media two or three times. BHP, they've been on the media quite often. Teck said that they were going to keep the coal because they wanted to fund their entry, the much bigger entry into copper. Just every single chief executive, and one of them was, you know, I shouldn't really name him, neither him nor his company, but he said, it seems to me like the world isn't getting it. And Kevin, they're not. They saw it drop down to 7,250, whatever it was. Everybody thinks that the 10,000, 11,000, 15,000 was Goldman Sachs and the rest of them just sort of making it up as they went along. We had the Ukraine. We've got the Ukraine war. We've got China locked itself up, and China locking itself up, I'll always say, was manipulating the copper price and nothing else. Their humanitarian record isn't that good as they want to look after the people so well. And then, you know, look where we are with the copper price now. We've got the biggest headwinds, the biggest geopolitical challenges you've ever seen in your life. And yet we're looking at really healthy copper prices, and every single major mining company chief executive saying, I'm going to be in copper. I'm actually using this commodity to finance that commodity, to finance the copper. It's here, $8,000 a ton. This copper will, this project will super. I mean, First Quantum last week, their Panama operation, they've had $10 million spent on it in total. They've spent $6.3 billion. They got it up to steam. It's 40% of the company's earnings. And then the Panama government decides that no. We're going to close it down. We're going to stop you mining because we want a minimum payment of $375 million a year. That's when you're getting corporation tax, you're getting royalties, and you're creating, I don't know, 7,000-8,000 jobs, you know. You can ignore jurisdiction as much as you like, but you can't ignore jurisdiction. I can't see the Australian government turning around and rewriting the rules when you've just spent a couple of million dollars on a project. This wasn't a couple of million dollars. This was $6.3 billion. I think there's a jurisdiction factor. I think there's a growth factor, i.e. that the project can get much bigger. I think there's a location factor, not that far from Sydney, and employment. It's not stuck in the middle of the Australian desert. That can bring its own problems. And it's in this green metal that everybody is crying out for and don't know where it's coming from. So I have great difficulty, Kevin, Phil. I have great difficulty with the downrate that the market gave us after the last announcement, where we quite innocently and quite professionally, we thought, put a circle around Racecourse. And all of a sudden, the reaction to that was done, finished, no 2 million. Racecourse is what it is. Racecourse is low grade, not interest. You know, we really had a negative kickback. I put that down to the fact that people have had a dreadful, you know, we've all of us, which end, you know, I'm both an investor and an operator and a small company director. And no matter which angle I look at it, I've had a rotten year. Investors, you know, who basically are very strong investors and borrow money to buy shares in the margin calls, that they've had, some of those have had a terrible time. The uncertainty never makes everybody happy. We all convince ourselves that it's only going to last for 6 months, and it's gone on and on and on. And I think, you know, being pragmatic, I think Extract was a victim, not of negativity, was really fatigue. And the copper story beginning to fade. And, you know, we don't really believe it anymore, chaps. You know, the copper story started to fade. And I think a lot of fatigue set in, a lot of fatigue post-COVID fatigue set in.
Yeah, I mean, we cannot look back at, I mean, we didn't look back on 2021 with fond memories, but 2022 as an investment scenario has been interesting, to say the least. Dire in most situations, and certainly from the resource-based scenario, it has been less than positive. Fundamentally, though, and I keep coming back to the fundamentals, fundamentally, the world needs copper. The world needs resources, actually, to be honest. It's not just copper, the suite of metals.
Totally dedicated to the fortunes of copper. And if it basically the copper story doesn't evolve, then I've got it completely wrong. But I don't think I have. I'm pretty sure I haven't. And I'm just basically doing everything I can to identify small, high-grade projects and large, lower-grade projects. And of course, bushrangers of this world, you won't believe how fast 2.5 years ago, when I learned that that listing hadn't worked out, when I heard that the owners had got certain payments to make and, you know, that it might be difficult for them, I acted so fast that it can't be true. And I do not regret that decision one iota. I think the shareholders of Extract have got themselves an emerging copper project in a very strong jurisdiction where the copper will be needed, in a world where the copper will be needed, and the certainty of supply will be probably more important than the price, the way we're moving, because, you know, we've had a couple of 3 years where momentum has been lost again. So I couldn't agree more with you, Kevin, that you sometimes, you know, that, and when you're losing money in a venture capital market like the smaller company market, it's difficult to look to tomorrow and, you know, the middle of 23 or the middle of 24. And expectations are extremely high. Delivery is low because of some of the miserable situations and headwinds that we find ourselves confronting. And it leads to apathy, negativity towards projects like the Bushranger. But, you know, I'm so happy that we acquired it. I know we've got a very clear direction. I know it's got a place in tomorrow's copper world. And quite frankly, I'm pleasantly surprised with the Ascot result, especially when I think I might be able to join that Ascot result up to the racecourse result.
Yeah. And all of this is effectively not immaterial, but it's guesswork at this stage. So the scenario is, do you buy Extract? Do you follow Extract? Do you think Extract is going to be worth more than 17 or 18 million pounds? Well, I think quite simply at this moment in time, you're not just betting on the copper price, but we're betting on the fact that we have a huge resource, we have gold resources, and we have other copper resources. And all that added together, is it going to be worth more than the current market capitalization? Well, considering the capitalization was probably three times what it is today, only a few months ago, I think it's fair to say that it's suffering unduly at this moment in time. But
yeah, I mean, just go down to Australia, convert dollars to pounds, look at similar operations, and there aren't any because most of them have made the discoveries that we've made. Look at their market capitalization, look at ours, and then take into account none of them have got cash-producing assets either. They're just basically, they're explorers without any cash-producing in general. So, they're generally 2-4 times IAG market cap, haven't made the discoveries that we have made, and they're in the same system, a lot of them, in the Lachlan Fold. They've got no daily production to mitigate against, the working cost of developing projects. And so that makes us terribly undervalued. But I think it's more of a reflection on AIM fatigue and the fatigue of AIM smaller companies than it is the fundamentals of the project. I really do.
Yeah, indeed.
Good. On that note, I think we'll wrap things up and say thanks very much for your time. Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Colin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.